Welcome to Talk is Jericho's The Pot of Thunder and Rock and Roll. And it's AEW Double or Nothing weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and it's time for the Duff McKagan Joke of the Week.
Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan calling. Hey, listen, I was wondering what my parents did before the internet to kill boredom. I asked my seven brothers and sisters, and they didn't seem to know either. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Slightly better than last week, barely. But thanks to Duffy the way, we love you for delivering every single Friday without fail for the last 4 years. All right, I got a few things to cover before we get to today's main attraction, a sit-down with the Jericho Appreciation Society just before our big Anarchy in the Arena match at AEW Double or Nothing this coming Sunday in Las Vegas. It's all going down at the T-Mobile Arena, 8 p.m. Eastern on traditional pay-per-view, or you can stream it live at bleacherreport.com or on the Fight TV app. The Jericho Appreciation Society versus Eddie Kingston, Santana, Ortiz, and the Blackpool Combat Club, Moxley and Danielson. Don't need to say anything else about that. It's been a long time coming, but it's here at last. Anyways, like I said, the Jericho Appreciation Society, Garcia, Hager, Daddy Magic, and Cool Hand Ange are coming up to tell our story. Before we do that, a couple of big announcements. First, tickets are available now for the Winnipeggers' 100th anniversary Shit Mix Celebration pay-per-view live. That's right, we hit 100 episodes and we're blowing it out with a live party. Celebrate with us. Lots of shenanigans, kazoo playing imitations, hand-drawn artwork, which will be given away to lucky winners during the show. We are going to rock you, entertain you. Tickets available at momenthouse.com/the Winnipeggers. That is momenthouse.com/the Winnipeggers. We're also doing an exclusive VIP after party on Zoom, which will be limited to 50 fans. Again, momenthouse.com/the Winnipeggers. Second announcement, Fozzy Save the World Tour starts again in September in the USA and Canada. We had so much fun this spring that we're already heading back out. We're doing the East Coast, Canada, the Middle West area, the Heartland. We start September 8th in Columbus, Ohio at the King of Clubs. FozzyRock.com is all the dates and ticket information, along with details on our legendary VIP meet and greets. Come rock with us, FozzyRock.com, for all the info. And that's all right, because we're getting going right now. The Jericho Appreciation Society, starting here and now on the eve of Double or Nothing weekend, right now on Talk is Jericho. Oh, yeah. Why don't you kick it off with, what's it been, 12 weeks or 10 weeks? What's it been?
12 weeks.
Give it to us. Where are we at?
The recognized symbol of excellence of sports. Entertainers.
Entertainers. Hard D in there. Real hard D in there.
I love when people
pause.
Up phonetically online.
Pause.
So this is great. Really enjoying hanging out with my new group of friends, the Jericho Appreciation Society. And I thought, since we're in Vegas and we're getting ready for a big Anarchy in the Arena, that we should probably do a podcast together. It's something that Jake and I have done a few times with the Inner Circle back when we were with those schlups. Mm. And now we've moved up.
Well said.
Thank you very much. I just want to get into kind of the whole history of the Jericho Appreciation Society and everything like that. So first and foremost, are you enjoying doing the intro every week, Matt Menard?
Yeah, it's great. I banged out like 12 of them. I think we got to get some more this week.
You are what Pat Patterson, and Jake knew him as well, would call, he's a gimmick. What a gimmick. I said, you are the epitome of pro wrestling. Like, if pro wrestling didn't exist, you would not have a job.
That's right. That is what you, he said that.
It's true. It's like, you just love the whole, like, borderline ridiculousness of it. Yeah. And I think since we started this, like, all you guys are amazing. That's why you're here. But I think people are like, oh my God, Daddy Magic is best slash worst.
That's what's great, though. It's like, we can lean into it, you know?
Yeah.
We can really lean into it. And there's no limits. There's no rules, really. Like, mm-hmm. anything, like, as ridiculous as you want to be, you could just do it. You're not going to get in trouble.
Right.
I remember Terry Taylor said something very similar about you, too. He's just, he just walks like a gimmick.
Well, let's kind of go back to how this all started. So, obviously, Jake was part of the Inner Circle. We were together for 3 years, and I'll do a little quick monologue. So we were trying to figure out what to do with Eddie Kingston and Jericho, and we thought, okay, my original idea was Eddie and I would do a program where I said, like, you can't win the big one, and he finally beats me, and then we become some kind of a team or something. We didn't really know what, but I thought that might be a decent idea. And then things go a certain way. I got hurt, then he got hurt, and then we had to take some time to kill, so to speak. And then he mentioned to Santana and Ortiz that they didn't win the titles because of me. So then I was like, okay, there's this connection with Santana Ortiz and Kingston. Maybe they have an allegiance with him. And meanwhile, you guys were already involved, being 2.0 and Danny Garcia. First of all, before we continue the story, how did this come about, the three of you guys getting together? And talk about kind of a little bit how this whole thing even came to be, where you were attacking Eddie and me and all this other stuff.
Yeah, that's so wild, eh? Like, yeah. We showed up in Jacksonville, and we just found out, okay, tomorrow night you're going to be doing a six-man tag, the three of you, the three of us.
And this is merely days after you were at my house doing the podcast.
Dude, we were at your place on Monday.
Yeah.
Tuesday, we're in Jacksonville.
Okay, yeah. So Kevin Owens says, hey, man, my friends just got let go from NXT. Can you have them on the podcast and try and build some steam? Great, I have them on. I'm like, these guys, because literally, I never told you this. I'm like, I don't know, dude. Like, I didn't say this to Kevin. I don't want these guys coming to my house. I don't even know who these guys are.
Of course.
But.
Who wants strangers in their house?
Their house, right?
I would be so angry.
But here's how much Kevin, I respect him. I was like, well, if they're friends of Kevin, he wouldn't call me to have these guys come over if they were dicks.
Yeah.
So talking to you guys at my house, I was like, these guys are really good. And they got good chemistry. So I said to Tony, what do you think about using these guys? Well, they're coming tomorrow night. I was like, you never even told me that. Did you know when you came to my house that you were going to be there on Tuesday?
Yeah, yes. We knew. But like
assholes.
No, but you can't.
Like, no, let me see if I can help you out, kids. Send me a tape and some pictures. You're thinking this guy? What an asshole this guy is.
I remember afterwards, like, oh, you know, when you guys gotta come, maybe gotta put him in. I was like,
well, yeah. might be there.
We don't need your word, Jericho. So, anyways, continue.
Yeah, so we show up at the Jacksonville tapings. The first one we're doing is the Tuesday Dark, and then we're gonna do Dynamite, right? And I think we all wore black and red. So, and Garcia was doing darks a lot and really getting, you know, some steam there. So I think it was just kind of one of those things. Tony explained it at one point where he just wanted to do a mega match with like Mox, King, Darby teaming with Sting, like the super faces, and he needed some beatable heels. Walk in the door and
we're some beatable heels. That was your first match in AEW?
Yeah.
Think about this. You guys get let go from NXT for whatever reasons, which we discussed the last episode. Mm-hmm. And now you come into AEW. I remember thinking this. Right out of the gate, you're like in a main event match.
Yep.
It was insane. Like right. I remember being in the ring in Jacksonville, and we're live on TNT at the time, and Moxley and Kingston are doing their entrance to Wild Thing, and the place is losing it. I'm just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
How did we end up right here? You know, and I could still like smell the summer breeze.
Yeah.
And it puts me right back into that moment.
The sunset.
Yeah.
Sunset. You know, I'm in a ring with two people I didn't even know. It was a perfect storm.
Once again, you don't know these guys.
Yeah. I had done AEW extra work a few times. And then I went on like a really, what I thought at the time was a really big indie run. And they had asked me to do extra work again. And I kind of said no. And then, I was like, I'm not really interested.
Yep.
And then I really turned up on the indies after that, and then they hit me up after. They said, like, Tony reached out to Pepper directly and asked if I could come in.
Pepper not, being the blade.
Well,
the Buffalo guy, because you're from Buffalo.
He's my trainer.
Okay, gotcha.
And I didn't really know what it was for, but I was like, yeah, I'll come through, I'll see what's up. And then one of the production people came up to me and said, hey, we have a pre-tape. I'm like, that's random. I'm just sitting catering with, like, I think Uno and the Reynolds or something like that. They're like, you got a pre-tape. And I have no idea what it was for. And then I was like, with who? And they were like, oh, 2.0. I was like, who's 2.0? I was like, who are these people that I'm doing a pre-tape with?
Yeah.
And then we did the pre-tape, and it actually, like, it felt really good.
Yeah.
It felt really good.
Instantly is like, we have a chemistry here. And, like, it was instantly like, we get along. Like, day one, it was like we'd known each other forever. Like, Garcia was coming through Montreal as we were leaving to go to WWE. So it was him and the Buffalo Kids were coming in and doing stuff. So it's like, we're familiar, but we didn't know each other. And then there's just that first day, and it's like, oh, hit the ground running from the first day.
And I think, like we could talk, right? We're very good talkers or whatever. And thank God for that promo, right? And I think Tony released it on a Tuesday, which is when NXT airs. And I feel like maybe that was on purpose.
For sure.
Right. It was. Yeah. He watches. Yeah. He knows. He knows what he's doing, obviously.
I know Tony said, too, at one point, I can't remember where to who, but he said that the group promo that we did, the first one, he was like, it got a lot of attention. So it seems like something that people would want to see more of.
Because
I remember right before I was going to go out for I think I wrestled like Fuego on Dark the night before our Dynamite match.
Right, yeah.
And he said, yeah, I think I'm going to keep you and 2.0 together as a trios. And in my mind, I'm like, this is the most random thing that's ever happened. Yeah. But see, of course, I'm going to act like I love it.
Yeah, of course. But here's one thing that's interesting about Tony, and I've noticed this since I started. He's really good. Obviously, he loves factions. He loves group warfare. But he's really good at putting people together as tag teams.
Yeah.
He really is. Like you said, Danny, very random. Garcia and 2.0, but it really kind of fit. And like, how does he know this? You know, it's like a like putting together Luther with Serpentico, Caspar. It really worked. Or Griff and Pillman, like the Acclaimed.
The Acclaimed. These that's, are just that's a huge.
They didn't know each other before.
Nope.
They didn't know each other before.
No.
No.
I had no idea.
I mean, they might have known each other, but they didn't. They never teamed. It was just Tony saying, this might work. And it usually does. He's very smart about that. So when he put you guys together, and like you said, wow, it actually worked.
Yep.
Some instinct that he had told him that it would go that way.
Yep. And then we had that match, and it's like, it went super well. And I remember it was maybe the week after or something, maybe even that
was
night.
Was Sting just, in that one?
Yeah. That was.
I remember thinking, these guys, all three of these guys, you know, from nowhere, and now they're working with Sting.
Sting.
Yeah.
From the warehouse to Sting.
Match. Yeah. But you guys killed it that night. You guys were a classic heel.
Yeah.
You guys like played the part perfectly. The promos were good. Daddy Magic with the eyes. Everyone through the screen.
Yeah, like that's like the dive he ate from Darby was just grit your teeth and do it for the gif.
Yeah. No, I knew because I come face to face with Sting. I'm like, I just have to effing eat this.
That might have been what got us the job. That dive from Darby.
For sure.
Have a square head before.
So here's the thing. So you guys are now a thing.
Yep.
And so Eddie and I came up with the idea that you would attack Eddie for whatever the reason was, then you would attack me, and then when I came down or he came down, it wasn't to save each other, it was to get at you guys, right? And right before I went to England is when we were in Chicago, and we did the famous promo backstage where Daddy Magic hit me with a chair shot like it was 1997 or something.
Baseball swing.
Which is fine. But then George, the sound guy,
out George.
We love George.
I flipped out on poor George.
Boom,
I
was like, mic in the shot.
It's like today with the fireball, the first fireball. The guy's like, oh, I didn't get the. We just rehearsed it five times. Yep. You got the boom mic in the shot. I just took a chair shot. I'm fucking Chris, dying.
Yeah, one thing I remember about that is you were yelling because you got hit in the head with the chair and we had to redo it. And you were like, I'm going to wreck this place. And in my mind, I'm like, what do these camera guys care if he wrecks this backstage area? Like, this isn't to get back at the camera guys.
Yeah, I'm like, what a threat. I'm going to wreck this place. Like, it was all right, go ahead.
It was like dad yelling at mom at the dinner table.
Yeah. And go try. What are you going to do? Kick the steel cargo boxes? Yeah, go for it. See how good. You're going to tip over the 400-pound box? Go for it. See how good you do on that.
See how that works out.
So anyways, so you guys attacked me on that. And then I go to Europe. I have issues. And then Eddie gets kicked in the face. He has issues. And now I'm like, what are we going to do? This is like the most cursed feud ever until Santana and Ortiz and Eddie start doing their thing. And I was like, this is interesting. We can now have some dissension here. And then the fateful moment where Daniel Bryan is going to align with Moxley and goes, we could bring in Moriarty. We could bring in Wheeler Yuta. We could bring in Danny Garcia. And I was like, is this a thing? Because if it is, now we've built up these three guys who have beat up Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho.
CM
pretty
Punk
big names. And now they're going to break it apart. And I was like, those guys got to stay together. They got to stay together with me. This is perfect.
Yeah.
It just hit me like, holy shit. Like Eddie Kingston, Santana Ortiz have history. They do their thing. I start a new faction with you three guys and Jake, because Jake and I have always been together from day one. And like, I need a killer, right? I need a heater. And so I was like, this could really work. So this is that's the original idea that I pitched to Tony and said, what do you think about this? And I know it's a little bit weird, but let me ask this. Give Jake the mic for a sec. So Inner Circle since day one, it was time for us to break up. I wanted us to break up after we did the thing with Max and the Pinnacle, and then I had the retirement match. If he beat me, and then I beat him. I wanted to break up the next night. Tony did not want to break us up. And I was like, what were you thinking about the Inner Circle at that point in time? It was great, but it was kind of like, what more do we have to do?
Stadium Stampede number 2 was just a high point for the Inner Circle.
Yeah.
Like, how are we going to top that?
So it
just felt good to like ride off in the sunset off of that. But, you know, here we are again. And what I really love about the groups is you could do the storytelling. And the way when it went down, like, no one saw
it coming.
Yeah. No one saw it coming. No one ever thought that Chris told these guys to come out and help him with Eddie and the boys. They thought immediately, here they come, sticking their noses into it again, like they had for the last month. And so it all made sense. And it was just, it was really beautiful. And I think that's why the success is there, or why, like, the people are responding to it, is because of the storytelling.
The storytelling, that's what wrestling is. So when I had the idea, and then around that time, we go to Bridgeport, and Eddie's like, I don't even know why I'm here. And Eddie has such a, like, I would never cut a promo like Eddie Kingston. He throws up so many red flags in my mind of what a promo is, but it's brilliant. He's so good at it. Like, I could never do what he does.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, no one would ever say that. But he does, and it gets over. And he was like, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't want to be here. It's pro wrestling. You want sports entertainment? Go down the street. And the people started booing. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Sports entertainer gets heat in our fan base. Call up Mike Dawkins. Hey, dude, is sports entertainer trademarked? Sure, it is. It's not. Oh, my God. Now I got another phone call to Tony. Because Tony started to get old. When are you available? I got something I got to tell you. I'm waiting for like 3 days. Like, dude, I got this thing. It's pretty crazy. What do you think? And he loved it. And that's what I was like, we got it. And the other thing I was going to say is the original idea for this whole plan, the name of it was going to be The Citadel. I thought The Citadel was great. And then I said it to Tony, and there was no pop whatsoever. And it was like, The Citadel sucks. I need something better.
And he said Citadel sucks?
No, he didn't say anything.
He just no-sold it.
Okay, I know him.
What's Citadel?
He don't like that. Citadel is like a... It's like a fortress on a mountain, like in Game of Thrones. Like the it's like a fortress that's, you can't penetrate it. Ooh, it's a citadel.
That's tough.
It's a good line, but and I was like, that's kind of stock. And I was looking at like the Art Appreciation Society or something like that. Some weird email that I got of like, if you like this, then maybe you should check out the Art Appreciation Society in downtown Detroit, February 6th at 3 a.m. I'm like, 3 p.m. What the fuck is the... And then the Jericho Appreciation sign. I was like, oh, now that's just cheesy enough.
It's so pretentious.
Yeah. It's pretentious. And now the Inner Circle is based around five guys, personalities. What if I do one where I'm so sick of the Inner Circle, everyone having their own opinions, that I just put together the Jericho Appreciation Society and everyone appreciates me.
Yep.
Everyone loves me because I'm Jericho. So that's kind of the whole genesis of this thing. Pitched it to Tony. Now let's talk about how you guys found out about it. First of all, Jake, how'd you feel? Because I said, I'm keeping Jake. And Tony's like, of course. I love Jake. Jake's great. He's great. He's great.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Because I always say Jake is one of the most underrated guys in our company. Thanks. Only because whenever he's given something to do, he always kills it.
Yep.
Always. Always, every time. No matter what it is. If it's a 1% thing, he's there. If he has the main event, no people match against Moxley, with only Jim Ross commentating, it's there. So I just like, we don't have to get a new heater. I've got one. So how did I explain this to you? Did I tell you how did that work?
I think it was the last time that the Inner Circle came together in your dressing room. Maybe probably about a month before it all went down. Maybe the night of that promo with Eddie when he interrupted us and was talking about the tag titles to Santana and Ortiz.
He interrupted us when we were backstage.
Yeah, right? When we were backstage, yeah. And we were sitting in your locker room and you literally said, this is probably the last time we're going to like be together in a room. And
I, like, Atlantic City maybe, right?
Yeah, and I was like, no way, no way. We have lots more. Yep. But it's always wow. It's always cool to see your ideas because it's just like they're genius. Not to just kiss your ass or anything, but like take the Wizard for example. Like honestly, when you first came out the week after the Fireball with the Wizard, I didn't know what you were talking about. I was like, is this pinball? What are we talking about here? And then you said that shit in the promo and I died. It was so awesome.
Still to this day, every time it comes out, we're just
yeah. I think you had said it on the Rampage that night, and it was just almost like a throwaway line.
Yeah,
like you said, I'll throw a fireball in your face. I'm a wizard.
Like wizards throw fireballs, don't they? And someone's like, oh, Gandalf. And I'm like, I don't even know what a wizard. Do they do this?
I don't know.
I assume seemed, so.
They do now.
Seem fireball. Do. A wizard throw a fireball.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. So like, and you say genius, and I appreciate that. But to me, one of the things, like, listen, for me, the best thing that I can do is I'm really good at reading the room, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And I was just listening, and people really responded to Eddie telling Santana Ortiz that it was my fault. And I was not a heel. And I was like, it's kind of a bullshit thing to say. But then I was like, well, take your head out of your ass. People were responding, yeah, reading social media and hearing, yeah, you guys got to get away from Jericho. This Inner Circle thing is done. You got to go become tag team champions. Oh, so people are kind of over me at this point as a babyface. And I started saying GFY, worst catchphrase ever. Jericho needs to go away. Jericho needs to go home. Okay, so they're getting angry at me, which means it's time to turn heel. Mm. Perfect. I love being a heel. Mm-hmm. Great. So I told Tony, I said, dude, it's time for me to turn heel again. I got to read the room. People are sick of me. They're done. Okay, great. There's one. Two, you guys were the three of you, and then now Daniel Bryan wants Danny Garcia. And I'm like, well, then what does it do to 2.0? We've spent 6 months building these guys. Mm-hmm. Why break them up? Why don't we just do a flip-flop and bring him with me? And like you said, and then what's Sammy going to do? Well, Sammy was the TNT champion at the time. He threw his vest down, his colors, his cut, and said, you guys figure it out. I'm gone. And he f***ed off. And so now Sammy's out of the equation. We got those three guys there, us five here. And then at the same time, Mox and Danielson join up and bring Regal in and do the Blackpool Combat Club. And I'm like, they're fucking perfect. They're wrestlers. And I'm like, this shit literally is writing itself.
Yeah.
We don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Like you were saying with the sports entertainer thing, like that just comes up out of just something you hear from the crowd. So that's reading the room. The funny thing about it is it gave us an entire identity.
A whole thing?
You know, because that's what we just lean into. Garcia now wears a Kangol hat. Why? Because he's a sports entertainer.
My favorite thing was like, because here's the
Kangol kid.
Here's the thing that you don't know. Would you, Danny wanted to call the match not Anarchy in the Arena, Kangol Chaos, and that's chaos.
Kangol Combat.
Kangol Combat. And that's combat with a K.
Kangol Conflict. He's coming.
So what you don't know is I called Bryan Danielson, and getting Bryan Danielson on the phone is almost as hard as getting Tony Khan. Because when Bryan's out here, he goes home and farms watermelons or I'm not kidding, but he does farm watermelons. So I finally got him on the phone and I was like, dude, like, I have an idea and you might have the same idea, and our idea is we want to build stars. Do you want to do something with Danny Garcia? He's like, I just said that is a thing. I had no idea it was going to take. I was like, well, can you do your thing that's going to take without Danny Garcia? And he goes, well, I said, because I have an idea. And he was like, yeah, I can do Wheeler Yuta and I can do this guy. And it was perfect. So we actually talked, and it was like GMs. I want Danny Garcia. I'll trade you Gretzky and Lemieux for Garcia. And that's kind of how it was. Because Tony was like, well, everyone wants Danny Garcia suddenly. And I'm like, no, he's already got the relationship with 2.0. We can really do something with this. So that's kind of how that all came. So tell me how you guys found out about the Jericho Appreciation Society.
That was in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
On that stage.
Yeah, on the stage. Which was cool because, like, yeah, it's Trump Plaza. Trump it's where WrestleMania was. WrestleMania
5 was.
Yeah, 4 and 5. Yeah. So already that was like, oh, this is a cool place to be.
Did I send you a text?
Yes.
I want to talk to you guys or something? Yeah.
Exactly.
That was it. I remember, just getting the text. Hey, guys, Jericho wants to meet up. He has something to say. And I just remember thinking, like, what could it be?
Yeah.
Because we kind of finished our thing, right?
Yeah. Right.
Like, it seemed like it was finished, and I guess it's not finished. I guess we're gonna try to attack him again tonight. Yeah.
Because like we were playing the supporting role to get you and King together, right? Yeah, so that was our role in it. We're like, oh, cool. Maybe we're doing something else. So then we meet up just outside catering.
I knew what it was right when I found out that you pulled us off to the side. I knew we were going to join the stable with you. I told you this right after.
I don't remember.
I told you this right after. Right when you pulled it to the side, I was like, this is too serious of a conversation to just be like a jumping or a beatdown segment. I knew that you were asking us to join a stable.
I knew it.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't a doubt in my mind once you pulled us off to the side that it wasn't going to be like a stable. I knew it right off.
So I pull you aside. What happens?
So just right out the gate, all right, guys, so I'm going to start a new, we're breaking up the Inner Circle. I'm going to start a new faction with the three of you guys and Jake. And we're just like, oh, f-.
Yeah, business just picked up. Right? Like, what is happening?
Because that's, you know, for guys in our position, like, you know, we were alluding to earlier, it's like, come from WWE, which is like, you know, it's whatever. We didn't get I don't want to say a fair shake, but we just never got the opportunity.
That's what it is.
Exactly. No, and no sour grapes about it. It is what it is. It's the wrestling business.
Yeah.
And then we're coming in here. We're having this really awesome run with Garcia. We really decided, like, hey, we're going to do this thing. We are going to commit to doing this. And, like, since day one, we've had each other's backs. And we're like, we're going to make sure that this becomes a thing. And we worked on it for, you know, 6-7 months. And then you were saying the Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson cuts
that
promo.
Did you know about that? Or did you just watch it go, like, oh, shit?
Well, we heard rumblings of it a couple of weeks before.
Like, anytime he did an interview, he would mention, like, he wants to work with Daniel Garcia. You know, so in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, this is going to happen. We're going to probably split.
Wasn't he like saying stuff to you about it too? Like back.
I'm going to steal your son because we were calling your son at the time.
Brian's a bully.
Huge bully. Right?
Little known fact, a little backstage secret.
He's a river.
A real bully. Okay.
Brian Danielson, you might not think it, is one of the all time best pro wrestling rivers, and not in like he's going to glue your shoes to the ceiling, just in things that he says.
It's ridiculous.
Anytime he had the opportunity, he'd go, I'm going to take your son from you. I'm going to take Daniel from you. And we're just like, hey, it's just our livelihood.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian.
Don't worry. Finally, I don't have bills to pay. It's fine.
Finally getting a little nugget of something. Yeah, yeah. And here goes the rug. And then he did that promo. We're like, oh, it's done. It's over.
Yeah, because that was the seed, right?
Yeah.
So here's my favorite part of the whole thing is when we were on that stage, backstage at Atlantic City. And I tell, 2.0, and here's what we're going to do. And Matt is like, oh, this is great. And Jeff is like, this is great. And Danny's just staring at me with this kind of stoic face. And I'm like, oh, does he not like this? Is he not into this? Because we're doing it, so you better like it, kid.
Get on board.
And then I'm starting like, okay, all right. What did you think?
That's kind of just my demeanor when I get like good news or bad news. Yeah, but leading up to that, like, a lot of people don't remember this, but Brian's first, like, press conference at AEW, he, like, talked about me.
Yeah.
And, like, he called me his son, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then every interview I saw with him, he was like, yeah, I really want to be in a stable with Daniel Garcia. And then, like, I think, like, Cody had, like, told me backstage or something that I was joining a group with him. And, like, multiple people just kept telling me, like, yeah, you're going to be in a tag team with Brian soon. You're going to be a tag team with Brian. And Brian, like, no lie, like, probably my favorite wrestler of all time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I told 2.0, I was like, guys, I think I'm splitting up and joining Brian. Like, I've been hearing this for a month.
Yep. And you then, rat bastard.
And then a couple weeks after that, Jericho pulls us off to the side.
In my mind,
I'm like, I know exactly what this is.
So what did you think, though? And this is, you can be totally straight. Obviously, Brian Danielson, like you mentioned, he is possibly the best wrestler in the world today. He's much more your style than, for example, that I am, because I can't wrestle like you can. I don't know a chin lock from a wrist lock or padlock. I do, but I'm just pretending that. I can fucking out wrestle all you motherfuckers. But point being, so what did you think? Were you like, oh shit, I didn't get the prize?
Well, at first, I told them weeks leading up after he had cut that promo about like, what if I take Yuta? What if I take Daniel? What if
I take me?
And I told 2.0, and I remember telling them, if it was just going to be me and Brian, I'd be very happy with that. Mm-hmm. But if it was going to be me and Brian and Lee and
you're just
Yuta,
the guy, yeah.
I would rather just stay with 2.0 and I'd rather join someone else.
Right.
So when you told me that, I was like, okay, like this gives me a chance to split away from these guys.
Yeah.
And on my indie run, like the one that really got me over on the indies, a lot of people don't realize, like everyone thinks I'm just like this like technical guy. Like, I got over, like, with my personality and with my promos.
Yeah, you have it.
Yeah, and I was really grateful to be able to show that other side of myself.
This wasn't just, oh, these, like, it fit, but also, too, like, watching you guys. Like, this is exactly, like, putting together the inner circle was each guy handpicked by me. And there's other guys at first that I wanted. I wanted MJF in the inner circle. I wanted Phoenix and Penta in the inner circle.
It would have been a whole different
Jake thing. Since day one, though. And it would have been a whole different thing. And that's when we're talking about the Jericho Appreciation Society, there was nobody else that I wanted. Like, it just fit because the story we were telling, it just fit. Now, Jake, what did you think? Because now we're going from Guns N' Roses to frickin', you know, Motley Crue or whatever. Like, what did you think about it? Because we
the Backstreet Boys with the
Or the Backstreet Boys is a great call. And wait till you guys see our outfits on Sunday. Wait till you see our outfits. I'm not even going to take a picture tonight because I want a picture of the five of us in our outfits. But what did you think, Jake? Because listen, I appreciate your input, and you were there since day one in your circle. We had a really good thing. possibly the greatest faction of all time, and I'm not scared to say that or ashamed to say that, and created classic moments with Stadium Stampede and all the stuff we did, and pretty close as guys. What were you thinking?
Possibly the greatest wrestling faction of all time. 100% the best storylines I have ever been involved with in my career. Like the first 3 years of AEW with Inner Circle, best stuff I've been involved with. Loved every bit of it. I hold all my Inner Circle stuff above everything else I did in my wrestling career, just because it really melded into something special. So when it was going down, I was a little, just like, hard to let go of it, you know. I like romantic comedies.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely not nervous. I'd follow you anywhere. And like moving on to something new. It was a little bit like, huh. And then I'm not gonna lie, I didn't love Jericho Appreciation Society at first. Just the title.
But let me say this. Yes. Guess what else nobody loved 3 years ago?
Inner Circle.
Stupidest name for a fact. I heard so many people yelling at me. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible. Jericho Appreciation Society. Oh, why don't you call it Inner Circle 2.0? Yeah, okay. It's so obvious. Yeah. Yeah. You dummy. You fucking idiot. I'm like, do you not know anything about me? I would never do that. Inner Circle. That's these guys. This is different.
Outer Circle.
Go ahead, Jake.
Yep. And so I was having a little bit of a hard time letting go of it, but then you said that I've been with you since day one, and I got to come. So I was like, okay, bye guys. So I was like, I'm with Chris.
And then your hot new girlfriend, Daddy Magic, came, and you fell in love all over again.
Now, that's great that you said. Let's get to this now. So the number one thing that I said to Tony, I said, I'm changing their names. I said, they have the most generic jobber names of all time. Yeah. Matt Lee and Jeff Barker. And I said, listen, I said, I am so sick of the last name of Lee.
Yeah, that is exactly what you said.
We've got Brody Lee, and we've got Keith Lee, and we've got Trevor Lee, and we've got Matt Lee, and we've got, and there's 30 of them more. Yeah. Even when Brody came, I said, dude, get rid of the Lee. We've got too many Lees. He's like, oh, it's just kind of my thing. I was like, whatever, I'm not going to fight it. But, you know, there's so many Lees. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Parker, that sounds like a second string shortstop from the Seattle Mariners.
This guy's working in an office.
Yeah, exactly.
Selling cell phones.
On my desk.
And hey, I like shortstop
Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks, here's my card. Jeff Parker, give me a call whenever you want an order, whatever you need. I got chicken breasts on premium. And so, I think Tony came up with 2.0 because he did not want to get rid of 2.0. So we got to get rid of 2.0.
So that was our indie name. We didn't want to use it. Like we tried to get rid of that name for years.
You know, what's funny is when we're on Talk Is Jericho the first time, we're making fun of the name.
Yeah.
The next day, we're 2.0.
We're 2.0 again. Yeah.
He loved it.
Yeah.
He loved it.
Got a call from Chris Harrington, who's just like, yeah, Tony really wants 2.0. He liked your stuff in Chikara and really likes 2.0. Yeah. I was like, oh, I hate it. But hey, what am I going to say? No.
So what did you think when I texted you guys? Did we get in a Zoom call or something? Jake, I said, I got to talk to you guys. Can you get on a Zoom call? And you had to drop somebody off, right? To pick somebody up. We had like a 15-minute window. And I was like, I got to talk to you guys.
Yep.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, you just told us you want to change our names.
Yeah.
And my first thought was, wow, we're changing our names again. All right.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Also, right. Jeff Hardy's coming in.
That's right.
So you have another Matt and Jeff. Like, you can't have
we two. We got a Matt and Nick, a Matt and Jeff, a Matt and Jeff, and you guys are not, we got another Matt and Jeff.
It's got to go.
It's done.
It's got to go. And, like, we only used our real names because, like, we literally had 9 days between our contracts running out. And, like, this all started so fast, and we're just like, okay, our names are all over in the sheets and stuff like that. So why are we going to think of another fake name? Let's just use our real names and whatever. Right. Yeah, there's nothing special to them, but let's go. So when we had that call, you're like, I want to change your names. All right.
Yeah.
Let's figure something out. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, exactly. So I have the call. And Dan Garcia is great. Perfect. We got it. Red Death. It's awesome. I still have a great idea. I want to do a match with Sting and Darby versus you and I, and I'll be the Painmaker and you'll be the mask of the Red Death from a Vincent Price movie from the fucking 60s where he's all dressed in red with a red cloak. It's going to be great.
Yep.
Tough.
And I got Jake Hager, Hand of the King, because he's the guy that's been moving the longest. Perfect. What am I going to do with these guys? So I say, what ideas do you have? Yeah. You don't have to think about it now. Text me. Here's what Mr. Parker texts me. He goes, my dad used to call me Slick. Can I be Slick?
It's a jumping off point.
And I was like, there's already a Slick in WWE. Probably copywritten.
Doctor of Style.
Yeah, Doctor of Style Slick. He can't be. I think I might have even texted you on the side. I was like, he wants to be Slick. There's already a Slick.
Let him be Slick. Win one for me.
Oh, I was howling so hard. So then, so tell me kind of the genesis of the names. You start, Matt.
Yeah.
Because so by the way, like, I was like, Matt Menard. Menard is a cool f***ing name. We've never had a Menard in wrestling.
Yep.
It's like Vince with Dave Batista. He loved the name Batista.
Yeah.
We've never heard a Batista or a Cena or a Menard.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah.
Like,
so that's why I like
so,
it.
So Menard is my mother's maiden name.
Gotcha.
And so I already have feelings about it. And then you wanted me to use it. And so you have those feelings.
Yeah.
Feelings in a good way or a bad way?
Well, just like it's my name. Maybe like I'd rather another name. You know what I mean?
It's your real name.
Exactly.
Yeah, gotcha. But it's cool. It works.
So once you sit with it for a minute, yeah. I'm like, no, I like this. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I remember
The MM, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I remember we had to talk about it. You're like, I don't like it. And I was like, I get where you're coming from because to you it's just a normal name.
To you, it's your name. But to me, that's a f***ing name that people, Menard.
Yeah.
Menard. I like that. Menard.
And it's like if Chris Jericho is going to tell you he likes it, I'm going to be like, yep. Yeah, he might know something.
Pretty good track record.
I'm pretty candid. Like I don't. I just say what I feel, and let's because to me, let's just make it great.
Uh huh.
If feelings get hurt, and same with you guys with me. If something's not working, let's just change it. Nobody's feelings get hurt.
No. So
we're working towards making fucking history here, right?
And I had used the name Big Magic before, and I remember you said,
right?
You had said, I don't want you to use big because you want to use big for something else,
no,
right?
No, we already had big hurt.
That's right, big Hoss.
You're not big. He's big.
Yeah, it's true.
He couldn't use big hurt.
Jake's pretty big.
He's got to sue us, but he's the big guy in our group.
Wait. Frank Thomas sued you?
Jake, tell the little side.
He sued your ass?
Let's go with this.
Little side pass. I think your dad gave us the jerseys. The New York Rangers had big hurt on the back of it.
It was a little celebration for Le Champion in Chicago.
I posted like a caption on the gram and said the big hurt. I was doing the splash. Chris texted me and said, I like this. I texted Chris back. I was like, thanks. Can you help me get it over? And then next thing you know, we're getting sued by Frank Thomas for
$5
million.
Was it $5
million? Well, it was a threat to sue for $5 million.
Cease and desist, basically.
Yeah, but we hadn't done any merchandise. We had just talked about it.
We called it Big Hurt. Yeah. What's up, Big Hurt? Yeah. So Frank Thomas is a baseball player, right?
Hall of Fame, first baseman for the Sox, Chicago, actually.
And his nickname was Big Hurt.
Yeah, and we even said, well, why don't you come on Dynamite and wrestle me for it, you know?
No way.
And you're also a baseball player. You're not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Frank Thomas, talk is Jerry's your clickbait. Frank Thomas, go ass.
Yeah. Yeah,
print it. Print that. Thomas.
We made you current, Frank.
So anyways, Big Jake is Big Jake. Yeah. And so you want to be Big Daddy. And I said, that's not going to work.
So I texted you a laundry list of names.
Yeah.
I have them right here.
Oh my God. Nice preparation.
Do you want to hear them?
Prepared.
Yes. Please. Go. Summertime Matt Lee.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, hold on. The Hot Property Matt Lee, 99 Degrees Matt Lee, Prime Rib Matt Lee, Soft to the Touch Always in Style Matt Lee, The Genuine Article Matt Lee, $7 a Gallon Matt Lee, Hunk of Meat Matt Lee, The Finest Cut Matt Lee, Magic Jack Matt Lee, Fine Wine Matt Lee, Hot to the Touch Matt Lee, and now maybe my personal favorite, The Mississippi Mud Pie Matt Lee.
You're now just f***ing around. Oh, I love Summertime Matt Lee.
I like that one too.
Yeah,
but this is before the Lee, and I was like, well, here's the thing, you're not Lee anymore, because I have a real issue, a foible with Lee. I hate the last name Lee. If you're going to be a wrestler, never call yourself something Lee. Anyways,
period.
When he sits, it's like, this guy's just, here's another thing, this guy's just f***ing amusing himself, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
He's sending all these names that is making him laugh.
Yeah.
I love this guy. Like, who would send, like, and believe me, I'm not in this category, but if, I don't know, Undertaker said, hey, join my faction, send me new names, I would not be sending Mud Pie.
Mud Pie.
And I was like, that, A, takes a lot of balls, and B, it's f***ing hilarious.
Yeah.
This guy's great. But you never had the one that you used.
Daddy Magic. No, that was it. Yeah, it just came up.
But did you say I want to use Daddy Magic?
Yeah, because it was Big Magic. And then I always had in the back of my mind, if I have to get rid of the big, I would use Daddy.
And I was like, that's...
I remember you came up with that when we were on that little ledge. You remember that meeting on the ledge, like right outside of catering? I can't remember what city it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember you were asking...
Nashville.
Yeah, and you were asking them name ideas.
Yeah.
I remember it was like, we were like being like real quiet. It was like a serious conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you asked Matt, and like Matt was real close to you.
And you're like, what are you going to use Stunt Big? And he's like, Daddy, I'm going to use Daddy. Just like dead serious. And you were like, I thought for sure you were going to shut it down. But he was like, okay, you're going to use Daddy? And then you just went straight off to something else.
Yeah, because, dude, because I get it. Like, Daddy Matt, because I always look at myself like as a fan. If I was a fan, which I am, but I put myself back to like Saturday's Main Event. If I saw a guy come on the camera called Daddy Magic, the balls that it takes to even want to be called that. This guy has something cool.
It's right? that perfect level of ridiculous.
Yes. It's that once again, perfect and Jake level. Will tell you this. What do we always do when we're being ridiculous, Jake? How do we play it?
Play it straight.
Play it straight. That's my number one rule. Nothing is ridiculous if you play it straight. Hey, I'll throw a fireball on your face because I'm a wizard. It's not like, because I'm a wizard. I'm a wizard. I'm a f-ing wizard. I f-ing believe it. You want to fuck around? I'll throw a fireball on your face. You don't think I can do it? Come over here. I got magic f-ing hands. That's how it works, right? So then we get to your name.
Yeah, so I just put together a bunch of words and stuff like that. I don't remember what the list was, but I was like, I remember I sent like the list and I was like, so the jumping off point is like, here's some words that I want to put two words together that don't necessarily go together, but we can marry two, you know, kind of like Cool Hand Luke.
Right.
And your reply was just, so why don't you just be Cool Hand Ange? And I was like, all right, easy enough. Like, it was just, it was right there, and I wasn't seeing it, because I was like, this is what I'm going for, but I'm
now,
trying to
raise that, match it and raise it. I also have the list
that you came up with. Oh,
this is more of a think tank of words and some names to spark ideas. Now, here's his nickname ideas.
There's some awful shit on there.
Nice Guy, Wildfire, Panther, The Fixer, The Professional. Precise, Pinpoint, Charming Devil, Agitator, Instigator, Cool Hand Luke, Similar, Scourge, Distinguished, Strategious, Disarming Associate. I remember looking at this, I said, all of these sucks, except for one, Cool Hand Luke.
There it is.
Similar. And I was like, Cool Hand Angelo? No, Luke is one syllable, Cool Hand Ange.
Yep.
Now, why did you want to be called Ange? Because the original idea was you're going to be Jeff Angelo, right?
Yes, it was going to be Jeff Angelo. And like, for some reason, I was sitting with that. I'm like, I like it, but I feel like it's missing something. So my full name is Jeffrey Chase Angelo Parker.
That's like, there's like 18 combinations out of that.
I used Chase Parker in WWE, so that's gone. I'm like, hey, Jeff Angelo. But I was still sitting with Jeff, and I'm just like,
you're right. Because the original plan was you're going to be Cool Hand Ange, Jeff Angelo.
Yeah.
Because like, Angelo's a cool
last Jeff name. Was just like, eh. I'm done with it. I thought Parker's a decent last name. There's no other, as far as I knew, there was no other wrestlers with Parker's last name. So I'm just like, all right. My grandfather's name's Angelo. So I'm like, all right. Angelo Parker. I'm so familiar with that name that I was just like, yeah. Yeah, let's just run with that.
And you said when you told your mom that?
Oh, yeah. So I told, I didn't tell my mom.
Oh.
I made her watch the show.
Oh.
Didn't tell her I was changing my name. Yeah. Nothing. So when you did the promo about it, Cool Hand Ange, Angelo Parker, like I could timestamp it immediately. Just like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm crying. And I was like, all right, that's the right choice. Yeah. I always believe that if you could pop the boys, you're onto something. If you can make your mom happy,
that's a good line.
If you can pop your mom.
Hey.
So let's talk about this, Danny, when we started doing the sports entertainment thing. And the heat that we got right out of the gate is like, how the f*** can you make Daniel Garcia a sports entertainer? This sucks. You suck. AW sucks. I'm like, you just fell right into my trap, dude. Mm-hmm. So how was that for you? Like the ultimate, like, pro wrestler, quote unquote, but you said your personality got you over, right?
So everyone thinks I'm just like this technical wrestler guy.
I don't
but
think that.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people think on the surface level, you know what I'm saying? And even a lot of wrestlers, they think that's the wrestling I enjoy. They think that's the wrestling that I excel in.
Why do they think that? Is that the style that you use mostly?
I think a lot of people just see my wrestling as very surface level. Like I don't think a lot of people really pay attention to my matches that much. I think they see that I use a sharpshooter as a finisher and they're like, oh, he's just a technical wrestler. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I love my delivery of that line. I think that's my favorite thing I've done to AEW so far.
I love the way you pause and switch cameras.
That was sports entertainment right there. That was the best. Yes.
Smile. It was perfect.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Like I said, I think it's the perfect opportunity for me to show different levels of myself as a performer. Yeah,
different shades. Yep. It's something we did this with the original night, Jake, with when you came in on night one, and the next week we introduced everybody, explained who everybody was.
Yeah.
And I just remember, and then there's another thing we'll talk about too, but I just remember like for me, like it's weird because like all your promos, I'm envisioning me just doing all of it. And then I'm like, okay, take it. This is Danny's part. This is Ange's part. This is Menard's part. We're not having Jake speak yet. In the original Inner Circle, Jake didn't speak either. There's a reason for that. But I was like, can these guys deliver? But I have to give them the chance, because this is why we're here.
Yeah.
You guys got to learn, right? And I remember out of the gate, like, oh my God, Pat Patterson gimmick. This guy has embraced the sports center. This guy pulled out a switchblade comb today. Angelo did. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Who has a switchblade comb and is using it as a threat?
Yep.
Like you said, like I envision the Jericho Appreciation Society as a group of high school, you know, kind of like bullies is the wrong word to use, but just like assholes.
But that's what you said. Do you remember we were walking through Gorilla once, all together, the five of us, and you stopped and said, we're just high school bullies. Because we were chirping everybody that we walked by. We're giving people shit, right? Yeah. And that's what you said. We're just high school.
So bullies. I text Jake on the side and I said, dude, I'm going to do a group text. I don't know any of these, I don't know what these guys are like, but let's jump in. Group text, JAS. Let's see what happens. I remember the first one was like, can I call you Daniel or can I call you Danny? Like, I didn't even know. Like, the first night, I was super drunk. I'm like, I'm going to take us all to Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that's where we're going. Where are we going?
Still waiting on that.
And I'm like, I'm going to pay $1,000 a seat and blah, 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 blah. And I wake up in the morning, it's like, oh my God, like, fuck, how drunk was I? Whatever. But that was, and so the thing that I thought of was, once again, I'm looking at all three of you guys. And I always, like, I'm not good at a lot of things, but what I'm good at is show business. And I'm like, okay, makeovers, all of them. So let's talk about the text that I sent you guys. What did I say? What was it?
You had mentioned something about Gene Simmons, right? He said,
always look like a star.
There it is.
True fucking story.
Chris always looked like a star.
And I went to Gene Simmons' house to do a podcast at 9 a.m. a couple years ago in L.A. I show up at his door. I knock on his door. He's got a full suit. What's the little thing you put in the pocket?
The pocket square.
Hair is done, and his hair is like super hard. It's like a helmet.
SOS.
I'm like, it's 9 a.m. What time do you get up at? We're not even doing video. He goes, always look like a star.
That's fantastic advice.
He's right.
Yeah.
Always look like a star.
That little piece of advice was just like, it was very illuminating.
Right.
It was like, yeah. Because like when we were doing our stuff together, like the three of us, it was like, we're trying to figure out what's our look? And it was like, we didn't have an identity other than we're just shit disturbers. Like we come in, we try and beat people up on the side, and then we get our asses kicked for it. So we had like a 2.0 t-shirt and jeans. We're just like, all right, I guess this is it for now. But it's like, we didn't necessarily have like we are now that we're 14, 12, 13 weeks deep into this. Like, oh, now we all have identities. So it was also like, what's the look?
It was almost like that text message gave us the permission to go ahead and be ridiculous in a way, if that makes sense.
We all have like our silhouettes kind of now. Yes. Like if you see a silhouette of us, like you can still tell who it is. Like the jacket, the suspenders, the tank top, the hat, you know.
To you guys, and you can help me with this, something along the lines of like, if we were going to the hottest club in Vegas.
That's exactly what you said.
And our favorite musical artist was playing. It doesn't matter who it is. It could be freaking Kanye, or it could be the Beatles, whatever, anyone in between. What would you wear to a exclusive party where your favorite artist is playing, knowing there's hot chicks and influencers there? What would you wear?
Yep.
I said, it could be anything. Yep. It could be white shorts and a white shirt or no shirt or whatever. Like, what would you wear?
Yep.
And I remember just planting that. And that's what I want you guys to do, because the Inner Circle I always loved, and Jake and I have discussed this, it reminded me of the original Guns N' Roses. You had five guys in the back of Appetite for Destruction. None of them looked alike, but they all fit together. Mm-hmm. I always loved that about the Inner Circle. Remember the first night for you, Jake, I was like, pretend it's Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm.
What would you wear?
Mm-hmm.
You always had that vibe. And Santana Ortiz is street. And Sammy's just a kid. And I'm a rock star guy. But it looked good. And that's what I was like, for Jericho Appreciation Society, like, we need to look good.
Yep.
What does that mean? So when I said that to you, what did you do?
So it was that process of like, it's exactly that. Well, what is that look? Like,
right. What is it?
I don't know what it is. And I remember Matt and I were talking about it a lot. Like, what is it? Like, you know, suits overdone, right? Like, okay, it's a...
And we're not a suit.
No.
Exactly.
I knew vibe. For myself, the second I read it, I was like, all white. Night one, I'm wearing all white.
Yeah.
I just knew leather jacket, white pants, I'm an asshole.
And we all wore summertime white. Matt Lee talking.
That's what it is. It's a summertime.
Callback.
Yes, I was trying to just figure it out. And it's a little bit like, I remember I went shopping maybe that week or the week after. And I just spent like a grand just on a whole bunch of different things. Because I was like, I'm not sure what it is. But I was like, my first thought was like, okay, maybe if I go kind of boy bandish. Like there's something there to that. So I bought some stuff. And like one of the things I just had in my house was like, oh, I have suspenders. Okay, so the first week I wore like a douchey sweater and white pants, and I was like, I like the white pants, but the sweater does nothing for me. It's just, it's nice.
Who's wearing suspenders now?
Yeah. Hmm. Exactly. So I saw the sweater, I was like, it's nice, but it does nothing. It's not outlandish, it doesn't pop, it gives no reaction to me whatsoever. So I was like, I need to up it. So I was like, suspenders it is. And then I just, all right, let's order 15 pairs of suspenders and go and buy ridiculous shirts. And yeah, here we are.
But Jake, you got some new stuff too. You never wore this stuff with Inner Circle.
Yeah, I think it was a cool thing for me too. I remember part of the Inner Circle, like we were changing up the look and going kind of back to black.
Back in black.
And you're.
By the way, let me just say this: we tried to get Back in Black from AC/DC. They wouldn't even call us back.
Oh really?
When we wanted Running with the Devil from Van Halen, they said, "If you pay us $500,000, you can play it once." They're basically saying, "Go f*** yourself."
Reasonable.
AC/DC wouldn't even call us back. But meanwhile, I go watch Applebee's commercial. Back in black. You give Applebee's a song, but you won't even give us the time of day?
For the check, good check.
Applebee's cut the check.
Listen, I bet you our boss has more money than Applebee's boss. Anyways, go ahead, Jake.
So this is my Gene Simmons moment, Chris Jericho system. Because we were showing up for a photo shoot, and I had forgot to like bring different stuff. I brought my old stuff.
That's right.
And you're like, hey, always take the opportunity to change it up when you can, because we're always reinventing.
Always evolving.
Yep. And so I was all for it. I wanted to show off my body a little bit. I've been training a lot for the fight.
Oh, yeah. And you've leaned up.
Yeah.
I showed up 1 week like super lean. And all everyone was talking about was like, you see Jake? He's super lean. I'm like, Jake, what about me?
Unbelievable.
First it was Mox. Then it was Jake. I'm like, well, you guys, I'm back to eating Twinkies.
That's golden vibes right there, man.
Golden vibes.
Do the Rodney Danger thing. You want to look thin? Hang out with fat people. So go ahead. Yep. Show off your body more, as you should.
Yep. And then I noticed that we were all doing kind of like, 1 week we were wearing red, 1 week we had kind of like a purple mix in there with your jacket. And then 1 week we all had kind of little intermixes of white. So like I just like that we were all kind of like tying it in and didn't even really go. And so then I was like, okay, I'm gonna start playing with this. And I did the all white trying to find it. That was a little more.
Yeah.
But you know, just being ridiculous, playing it straight. I enjoy it, and like you'll find it. And the best part about working with Chris, as you guys will see, is like he accepts it, he goes with it, and he understands. Like, hey, this could be
good. An artist, be creative, just be creative. That's all I ask for. Which goes perfect segue into one Daniel Garcia, who has come up with the best thing ever.
Yeah. So for my style, like I'm in real life, I'm really into like streetwear and like workwear stuff like that, like Dickies pants. I wear really like baggy clothing, but I knew I couldn't do like baggy pants and a baggy shirt because I would just look
I hate that shit.
Yeah, I know you do.
I know
I would look like 120 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah.
So I figured, okay, I can keep the baggy pants because that I just look better in that.
Yeah.
And I'll just wear like a tight tank top up top, like as if I took a baggy shirt off and that's what I was wearing underneath. Yeah. And like a nice pair of sneakers I would always wear. But then one day, I can't remember exactly what it was, what made me think of it. But I just thought to myself, man, like Triple H always used to wear that backwards leather hat.
and 1998.
I was like, he always used to wear that backwards leather hat. And it's funny because actually on my Snapchat memories the other day, something popped up at my wrestling school that I train at. my trainer has a Shawn Michaels costume from like the 90s. And it came with like the leather train hat.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. And this is like my first couple months of training. I put it on backwards and I would do like Triple H impressions at the gym. Like when he was on Tough Enough.
Pressure right now?
Yeah, he'd be like, by the way, your balls are hanging out of your shorts.
That's the Tough Enough.
My favorite one was, he goes, take a bump. Boom. He starts hitting him with fists. He goes, you ever saw like that in the ring, I'll tag you for real. I used to do that at the gym all the time when I first started. And that, like, I have a picture of myself wearing the backwards, like, bootleg Kangol hat. And I just thought to myself, man, like, I really want to wear this on TV this week. But I didn't have enough time to like get one shipped out or anything, so I went to the mall and I went to a Lids, and I could only find like the baby blue Kangol ball that I wore that 1 week.
I remember everyone busting your balls,
yeah, everyone
and telling you just.
Meanwhile, I was like, "This is fucking great."
Yeah, everyone backstage was saying like, "No, don't wear that. Like, you don't look good. You don't."
Who told you to wear it?
Jericho, you guys, and Ricky Starks, and the Blade.
Yeah, there you go.
The people who I know have my bags.
I remember the first time you put it on, you were like unsure about it. I'm like, no, this is amazing.
He texts me. He goes, I'm like, hey, what do you think about a Kangol hat? I couldn't even text back fast enough. Yes. Because for me, my Kangol, because I forgot about DX, but Kangol, so I'm a big Tarantino fan. Mm-hmm. And I remember Jackie Brown, which is the movie he put out after Pulp Fiction. How do you follow Pulp Fiction? Jackie Brown is super underrated because everyone expected like Pulp. You can't. And all I remember is every person in that movie is wearing a Kangol. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is your problem, Tarantino? Like, everyone's wearing a Kangol. And it's like, I haven't seen a Kangol since 1997. And out of nowhere, this 23-year-old dude goes, hey, what do you think we're wearing a Kangol? And I was like, the Jackie Brown thing? Like, yes. Double yes.
It was so out of left field.
I was like, this is the proverbial. That's when you got over with me. I was like, oh, this is amazing. You don't have to do anything. Baggy pants, tight shirt, Kangol hat, done.
Yeah, and I think once I started wearing the Kangol for a couple weeks, that's where I found my silhouette, you know.
Mm-hmm. But you also, like, you started feeling it. Like, this is pretty cool
now shit. Now it just feels normal. No exaggeration. Like, I might wear it in normal life. Like, the leather one that I wear. Like, if I go out somewhere, like, if the occasion's right, I might just might wear it in public.
That's just you now.
Dude, I wore pants tonight that, like, my wife was yelling at me. They're terrible. They're, like, sequin women's pants. I was like,
they're cool. Giving you a hard time.
They're cool. Why are they cool? Because I'm wearing them.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's why it's cool. Because I don't give a It's show business. Always look like a star. 9 a.m. pocket thing. What is it called?
Pocket square.
Pocket square. Hair done. That's show business, man, and that's why it works for us. Yeah, you know,
every like pop star, like fashion, like icon, like Kanye West. No one was wearing like pink polos and backpacks until he started wearing them, and people were making fun of him at first. Then eventually, a couple years later, everyone's wearing pink polos and backpacks.
I've learned this years ago. People can laugh. Imagine Kiss walking down the street in 1973, and people howling, "What are these losers?" Blah blah blah. You got to step outside the box. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we have done this. Now, let me ask you this as we start kind of winding down. How has it been for you guys so far? Because we've done a great job, I think, of building this brand. Like Jake said, like, oh, I wasn't sure about Jericho Appreciation Society. Now it's a thing. It's been working. The ratings have been great. How's it been for you guys so far? Have you gotten what you thought you were going to get out of this so far?
I'm having the time of my life.
That's great.
This is literally... Matt and I say this to each other all the time. This is literally everything we ever wanted to do when we wanted to be professional wrestlers. It's exactly.
How do you mean?
In what way? In the sense of like, you know, pro wrestling, like an art form, has many different types. You know, there's a lot of different types of pro wrestlers. We always love to be exactly what we're calling ourselves, sports entertainers to its fullest, doing the ridiculous stuff, wearing the ridiculous outfits, doing the promos and telling the stories and getting these emotional reactions with playing different characters off of each other. It's literally everything we've ever wanted to do.
Yeah, you're in something every single week. What more could you ever ask for, you know? With a guy you looked up to your whole life, you know? Like, it's great.
Eddie Kingston knows about your balls. Look at you, how happy
you are. Eddie Kingston.
You're your favorite wrestler.
Eddie Kingston can suck my ass, you know? And maybe that'll happen Sunday night, I'll tell you right now.
Let me ask you a question. Did Kevin Owens ever talk to you guys? Did you ever talk to him about it?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah,
all the time.
Thanks, buddy. I said, dude, this is not a favor to anybody. These guys are the right guys for the job, and they're doing a great job. That's what I said.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, but this is not a favor. No thanks necessary. You guys did it. What did Kevin say?
We texted one night, I remember, and just talking about how surreal it is that we've both been in cliques with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like two guys from Quebec, and here we are. Yeah. We've both been running mates with Chris Jericho on national television.
Kevin
and
his angle was so great.
It was amazing.
Danny, what do you think?
Yeah, for me in wrestling, it's kind of always weird how normal things become. Like even with you guys, the second weekend, it just felt natural.
Yeah.
And same thing with this. Like the first week, we did the promo. In my mind, it just, I was like, this feels good. And then by the time the second and third week rolled around, I was like, this just feels like natural. Like Hager, I probably didn't say a word to before I knew I was joining the stable with him.
Right.
But now he's like, I just love like hanging out with him.
He's the best. He's the fucking best.
It's crazy how in wrestling, how natural things come. And I really think a lot of that, I think the best way to form a bond with someone is through shared experience. 100%. And I think there's no better shared experience than traveling around the country with people and being on national television, having the time of your life with some people that.
And this really is my thing too for this. Like I said, like I'm not great at a lot of things, but I understand chemistry and I just have a feeling. I knew this would work. I just did. And that's why I remember that, like we talked about this, Jake, the first time we did the group text. Like we texted all the time with the Inner Circle guys. And then it was with Max and Wardlow when there's the seven of us. I look back at those texts. You go back, there's great times. But now let's move on to these guys. Do you know these guys? Not really. But this is our thing, and it's going to work. I know that you and I would work. We always work. It's fucking great. But it's like you said, Jake Hager and Danny Garcia. Okay, guys, start talking. Be friends.
Be friends.
Be friends.
It's like dropping the kids off a kindergarten.
It really is. What do you think, Jake? Because you're the only other guy that was in both, and you're not me. So what do you think about both of our great factions?
It's so cool to see us like where we start and where we are now. Like you would never have known like 3 months ago, like we didn't really know each other. So it's really cool to see the camaraderie. And I remember, I think it was the first night, I think Chris, you had a match and we closed Dynamite and then we stayed out there and did like the dark main event thing. We had, you know, just like a dark main event thing after your match. I think you had like a singles match and we just were out there, the JAS and full force. Daddy Magic looks over to me and goes, well, I've never done that before. Yeah.
Here's the thing, like even today, we did the backstage thing, which is a whole other story, how we got that done. But I was like, okay, here's what I want to do. We're going to cut a promo about the Anarchy in the Arena. We're going to bully some dude wearing a mock shirt. Hey, can you send a mock shirt to the thing? Blah. Okay, I don't need to start this. Perfect place for Danny Garcia to start the promo and promote the pay-per-view. Usually, that's me. Tonight it was you, and you did a great job. But that's why it works, is you need a chance to shine, and does Daddy Magic, and does Cool Aunt Ange. And it's like, the one thing that I can always pat myself on the back for is that, like, I don't have to be in the spotlight. This is about all of us. And I think we've done a great job, and everybody gets something. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets something. Last week, like, Jake doesn't talk, but last week, behind me, on Rampage, if Regal's going to fuck around, and if Santana's going to try and attack me, and if Eddie King's going to call me, I got Jake Hager behind me. We're all getting a spotlight. I think we've done a good job of that.
Absolutely. Like, it's on there. Like, that's a testament to you, and just being like, oh, you're going to spread it out to make sure that we all have an identity, especially at the beginning. It's like you were saying earlier, like, how do you know if you can trust us with this stuff? Well, I'm going to throw them in the deep end and see if they can swim or not.
You have to do it. You know what I mean? You have to.
I have a question. So on the first night when we all did the thing,
San Antonio?
Yeah, you had mentioned, I don't think I dreamt this. You said that Jake had saved your life.
That's pro wrestling version.
I just wanted to know the story.
We'll tell.
All right.
Here's how we're going to end the show. And there's a whole thing I want to talk with Danny, but we'll do another show just on our own. Here's how we'll end the show. I said that Jake Hager saved my life in, was it Abu Dhabi? Where the fuck were we?
Yeah, I think Margot Robbie in Abu Dhabi.
Margot Robbie?
Yeah.
I remember she was there. Was it Abu Dhabi or what's the other one?
Dubai. It was Abu Dhabi.
So,
Here's the story that I tell that Jake Hager saved my life. And I'm going to tell a little bit, and I'm going to pass it over to you. And this is our last story for the show. So we go to Abu Dhabi, and we're there for a week or 5 days or something. We had 3 shows, whatever it was, and they're bought by oil baron Saudi princes, whatever they are. There's 50 people in the crowd. There's nobody there, but they paid big money to have us. And we're there for a week. And there's all these things to do and lots of trouble to get into and blah, 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 blah. So Jake and I have been friends for a long time. We've had a lot of experiences that we don't need to tell right now, nor should we tell them. Finally, there's a guy at this club that we're at. Me, Jake.
Primo. Orlando.
Ultimate Optimist.
Mike Chioda. Okay.
What?
Okay.
That's another story that we won't
the
tell.
The Optimist, Mike Yoda. And there's this guy who's being an asshole. And he's yelling and screaming, blah, blah.
Getting real touchy, grabbing people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm done. So I get up. You guys understand. Being Canadians. NHL. I walk past the guy. And as I walk past him, I give him the best hip check of my life. Yeah. I hit this guy with my hip. He goes into the wall. He's
flying.
You motherfucker. I'm going to be waiting for you. So we go downstairs. Elevator down to the bottom floor. The sun is coming up, and here he is waiting with his friends. And he says,
hours later,
yeah. He goes, my dad owns 27% of this company, and I'm putting a bounty on your head. In the next 24 hours, you are going to be killed, and I'm going to pay him $7 million. And I was like, I went to Larry David mode. I was like, $7 million? Is that good? Like if it was Brad Pitt, would be $30 million. If it was like a jobber, would be $1 million.
Yeah, what's a normal American murder rate?
Anyway, so we're arguing with this guy, and Jake is behind me. So you take it over. What happened?
And so, like, the whole time, this guy is bragging about how his dad owns this company and how he's a sheik this, and he's got like some Toys R Us bodyguards with him.
And this is 2012, by the way.
Oh, and great. So like the club security like has us separated. He's running his mouth, and all of a sudden this like junker that your high school girlfriend used to drive when she first got her driver's license like pulls up next to all these Lamborghinis, and like, I mean, we even had like a black SUV.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
So let me arguing with the guy about the $7 million. I was gonna beat this motherfucking ass. I had a room key back with it was a key, old school Winnipeg trick. You put the key between Danny's naughty.
Yeah, buffalo bastard.
You put your key in between your fingers and you punch a motherfucker in the face. And I remember Jake going, "Don't do it, man. This is the Wild West. They will kill you here.
It's true.
You up, they'll hang you." And I was like, the only reason why I didn't take a wild swing with my stupid key was because Jake told me not to. And that's how Jake Hager saved my life. You did, though.
Oh, man.
And listen, he owned 27% of the company, whatever, with his old junker. Anyways, point being, if he had not told me not to fight this guy, I would have fought him, and who knows what would have happened. So therefore, in pro wrestling logic, Jake Hager saved my life.
I love it.
In Dubai, and that's pretty exotic. Sounds like a James Bond movie.
That's pretty much the same thing as you seeing a red dot on your chest and me diving and getting, like, as the shot's coming, you know? Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What the shot for?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same thing.
You caught the bullet in your teeth.
In his teeth.
In his teeth. All right, we're going to end it off with this.
Give
the mic to fucking Daddy Magic.
What we got?
How long has it been? 12 weeks?
12 weeks.
Okay, I want the whole thing.
All right.
12 weeks, the whole thing. Give me the thing.
The Jericho Appreciation Society. For over 12 weeks, the recognized symbol of excellence for sports entertainers.
Entertainers. Woo! Get started.
Oh, yeah.